Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week, and we do hope that you have your Bibles out, and while you're getting them, to follow along with us if you're in a position to do so. Again, we'd like to thank you so much for the letters and for writing us. We appreciate that very much. Thank you for those who have sent financially to help us. Thank you for those who pray for the broadcast every week, and we appreciate that very much. We really do. Thank you for the questions that some of you have written and asked about, and some of the problems that we face as a Christian here, especially when you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days that we're in before the rapture of the church, before Christ descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ rise first, and us which alive remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we're in these last days now. We're in a time of lawlessness. We're in a time when you can kill babies, take them from their mother's womb and suck them out and cut them to pieces. And this is legal. And it was never thought of that it would ever reach that height of stupidity in America. And yet our Supreme Court has authorized that to be so. We never thought it would be a time when perversion and homosexuality and lesbians, total perversion of the way God created man and woman, and yet this is sanctioned, and now it is put upon you so that you recognize this as normality. But one only has to read Romans chapter 1 to find out these are haters of God. These are perverts. These are those who have went contrary to the Lord, do not believe the Bible, do not believe what God says. And we're in those days now. Many of us older folks had never thought we'd ever see those days. And where it would come, where morality has just slipped into oblivion, do your own thing and so forth. But we're here, and we are now. And when you're a pastor or a Christian and you speak out against those things, and you're going to be persecuted, and you're going to be lied about, you're going to people are going to do anything, some of them now, some of the ones that are in that class, going to do anything to degrade you or anything else in order to soothe their own conscience. But nevertheless, the Word of God stands true, and God wants you to be true to His Word as a Christian. He wants you to stand on what He said and lead people to Jesus Christ. And the whole world is not going to hell. There are people who want to trust and want to know the knowledge of the truth and have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We're over here now to the book of Revelation here, and we're over here, and we'll pick it up here in verse 6 and 7 where we left off last week. It says here in verse 6 and 7 in the 14th chapter of Revelation now, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell upon the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." And in verse 7, "saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give him and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains and the waters." We're in a time when we're in where churches don't preach about hell anymore. And it's a very interesting thing. In Mark chapter 9, in verse 46 and 48, your NIV Bible, your New International Bible, which is backed by nothing but many people who do not believe the Bible. They've taken those two verses out, where the fire, the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Well, they don't like that, so they took verse 46 and 48 out of your Bible. If you folks are listening, have an NIV, go try to find it. You're not there. The reason is, and we'll give you a little bit later in the broadcast here, we're going to read you some statements from some of the men behind the NIV. These are your new liberals. These are the ones where you never hear hell mentioned in the church. They propagated a Bible upon you because they do not themselves believe in hell. And they follow the same religions as Unity, the same religions here as Charles Fillmore, the same as Herbert W. Armstrong, the same as Jehovah's Witnesses, and all of those do away with hell. They don't believe in it, so forth. And yet we're going to read you some of the statements in the writings of the editors themselves. And plus they have a Virginia Mollenkopf, a known lesbian who was on the staff also of your New International Version, if you have it. But it's been propagated to you, and one person said, "Hey, oh, it seems easier to read." Oh, really? Go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and in the earth in those days were giants. And they didn't even translate the word giants. They put Nephilim. If you didn't know Hebrew, you wouldn't even know it. And you're going to try to pawn that off and say it's easier to read. You've taken that because of somebody's recommendation, never checked it out for yourself, you see. And I'll say this, it's not easier to read, but it's shorter to read. And the reason is it left out 64,000 words. So it doesn't take you as long to read it. Plus, it's taken out whole verses and everything else. But we come over here now, and we begin to find here, concerning this, the angel here. You know, in a few years, shuttle space flights to the moon may become commonplace, while space flights from New York to Tokyo, Japan, may be made in maybe less than an hour and so forth. And this verse may indicate that an angel will fly in the heavens proclaiming the gospel to those on earth in the tribulation period. From the realm of earthly possibility, this would have seemed far-fetched several years ago. However, and I'm sure that you'll remember, all of us have heard our astronauts in space frequently speak to the entire Earth. We'll never forget Christmas in 1968 when Apollo 8 was sent into orbit around the moon. Astronauts Frank Borman, William Anders, and James Lovell became the first men to see with their own eyes the hidden side of the moon. So impressed were they, however, with the Earth as seen from outer space that they read from Genesis chapter 1. And whether they realized it or not, from the heavens, they were, in a sense, giving forth the everlasting gospel and a testimony of God's record of creation. They most assuredly were. Now we come on down, and let's begin to take verses 9 on down here to 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in their forehead, his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." You're not going to hear that in too many churches today because they do not want to offend you. And if they offend you, you may go to another church and not support their church with your financial support. And if you belong to that church, some of your liberal churches, you have a price tag on your head. In order for your membership, that's why you're sent a little certificate that says, come on, pay up or get out. They don't put it quite that crudely, but they will surely remind you that the headquarters of that particular denomination, so forth, and many are like that, that it costs you something like whatever it might be. I think one person told me to belong to their church, it cost them $250 a year. I'm not sure if I have that figure exactly correct, but it costs them about that. And it doesn't matter if they come or not, but in order to maintain their membership, they must send their check, and they must sometime through the year pay at least $250, if I have the figure correct. I think I do, but I'm not 100% sure. So they're interested in your money, and they're not going to offend you, you see. And yet, the Lord says, teach the word, be instant in season, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So your modernistic churches are not going to offend you. They're going to have some little padded down thing to make you feel religious, and not going to tell you the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. That is the only way. But we find out here, God is coming, Christ is coming in his wrath. And don't preach judgment now in these churches. It could offend dear sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. They've been a member for 30 years, and we don't want to get them upset or anything like that. But the Bible teaches, if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're condemned already. You are condemned to hell. I remember a person came to me, and a lady lied about it, but this lady said, you told her she was going to hell. I don't remember ever telling the lady she was going to hell. God told her that if you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. When a preacher or a Christian relates to you what the Bible says, it's not this individual or the pastor that makes it up. I didn't write the Bible. Another Christian didn't write the Bible. But we are to preach the Bible. We do believe what God says. Now, when we preach the Bible and say that if you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, you will spend eternity in hell. We're saying what God said because we believe what God said. We believe the Bible. And yet in many of your liberal churches today, you never hear hell mentioned. And the lady came close, but I never told her she was going to hell. In fact, I don't even remember talking to her about that. But anyway, she said I did, and it doesn't really make any difference. But I never say somebody's going to hell. I will say what the Bible says. God says you will spend eternity in hell, and gives you a very vivid example of it in Luke chapter 16. The rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. God said, I'm giving you a firsthand account. Yes, I said you will go to hell. That's what God said. But we preachers or Christians just give you what the Word of God says. But it's so easy to blame the person here who's preaching the Bible when really, if you don't want to believe in hell, your argument's with the Lord, not with the pastor. Your argument's not with the Christian who is trying to lead you to Jesus Christ and tell you you can escape the damnation of hell if you will accept God's payment for your sin, because God did love the world and give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And yes, that Christian loves you enough to tell you that. I was witnessing to a lady here not long ago, and pure hatred came out from her. And I said, you know that Jesus Christ, God loves you, and Jesus Christ died for you. I don't want to talk about that, she said, and I don't want to talk about that. And you could just see the hatred flowing out of her. She goes to a liberal church. She goes to a church, you're not going to hear hell. You're not going to hear that there. If she goes, I guess she does. I don't really know. Sad part about it, she's in a seat of authority. A man came to me and he said, and boy, I just hadn't seen that kind of hatred come out of a woman for quite a while. And pure hatred. And a man had came to me quite some time before that, probably been, well, quite some time before that. And he said, he knows her quite well, been a friend of hers for a long time. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Younes, he said, has this particular woman, and has she ever come to you and asked you about anything about the Bible or anything? And I said, no, she never has, that I know of. He said, well, she's going around saying you're a cult and so forth. Sad to say, this woman's in a seat of authority. That's sad. That's really sad. He said, I want to tell you something, sir. He said, watch her, she'll get you. Watch her, she'll get you. And yet this woman claims to go to a church. Of course, it's a liberal church. They say anything you want to hear and so forth. And scare me half to death. And but that's what religion will do to you. If you don't know what you believe and you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to go to church just to put on a front and have people think you're just some real nice person or that, no, God says if you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son of God, you have not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon you. Now, in the book of Revelation, and one reason you don't hear this preached too much, speaking about the book of Revelation, is the fact that it pronounces judgment upon this world, and people don't want to hear that today. There are some who do want to hear, and thank God they're delivered from the wrath to come because they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they trust Christ as their Savior. They're thankful to God that God loved them while they were a sinner, and Christ died for them and paid for their sin. They're eternally grateful for that. And they want to witness and tell you about that, and so that you can have a home in heaven also. And there will be some people who accept Jesus Christ. There will be others that will go right straight to hell, soaking in their self-righteousness or their position in the community or whatever it might be. And there's nothing you can do about that. But when you witness to them and they don't want it, not every time, but lots of times, those people are going to hate you. And I'll never forget what this man said. He said, you watch her because she will get you. And, boy, that's scary, isn't it? I mean, it really is. It isn't half as bad as what the martyrs in the first century were burnt at the stake for their faith in Jesus Christ, just as martyr. That's where he got his name, martyr, because of his faith in Christ. And he said, don't even tie me to the stake. I'll stand here. I'll die for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. William Tyndale, because he wanted to get the Bible to the English people by a religious group, he was tied to the stake. And they... and burnt to death, burnt alive. What they did to him, though, in order to keep from going to war between England and Germany, because you had over in England there, you had some there with King Henry that were sympathetic to the reformers. So what they did to try to keep from going to war and pacify it was the fact that they hung him first, and then they burned him at the stake. But the usual persecution was you were labeled a heretic if you wanted to read the Bible by this religious group. And they persecuted and killed thousands and thousands of Christians. And if you just read the history on Bloody Mary, you'll find out what religion she belonged to, and she hated Christians. And yet she was with a religious group and so forth, you see. And so you come down, you're going to find out in these last days, there are going to be people that hate you if you witness to them. But Christ wants you, and you're going to lead some people to Christ. It will infuriate those who want to do away with hell, who do not want the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you're always going to find people running around saying, oh, you're a cult, and so forth like that. And people laugh at them because, number one, they know they don't even know what they're talking about. You see, would every Baptist church in America be a cult? Well, it's so asinine, people just laugh at that kind of foolishness when you hear that kind of stuff. And because many of them have trusted Christ as their Savior, know they have a home in heaven. And but the religion will always hate Christianity. Religion is putting on a front, trying to play religion, And Christianity is accepting Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross because he loved you, and he wants you to accept his payment so you can live with him in heaven for all time and eternity. Now, when we talk about fire and brimstone here, you know, it's interesting here because fire and burning sulfur describes the pain of burning, the fiercest pain commonly experienced by man. Speaks of the horror and the awfulness of the lake of fire where the lost are assigned. And you can read that in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 15, where they are cast into the lake of fire. You see, we're in a time when the world's drinking at the fountain of sex and self-indulgence. And almost daily we read in the newspapers of those who have reached the top in popularity or in finance and who find such attainments a hollow victory. Many turn to suicide. And then, in the great tribulation period, pleasure and godlessness will reign, and those that accept the mark of the Antichrist doom themselves to eternity, an eternity of fire and brimstone forever and ever. Now, we come on down here to verses, and we'll notice here in verse 13, and then verses 14 on down to verse 20 have to do with the Battle of Armageddon. But in verse 13 it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." That is, they're going to have to die for their faith in Christ. And during this tribulation period here, after the rapture. "And yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That means Christ is going to reward them for their faithfulness. Even though they refuse the mark of the beast, and testified for Jesus Christ, this one world system, this one world religious system with its seat in Babylon, and the one world system here as far as governmental system with its seat in Jerusalem, and what you see here today, and I don't know why people cannot see it, it must be because you don't read your Bible. I had one lady, I stopped, it's been 2 or 3 years ago now, and I stopped at her house and invited her to church. She says, "Are you ecumenical?" And I said, "Absolutely, with those that believe the Bible." But do you know what? Ecumenical, as far as just every religion going together, is spoken about primarily in two places, and both times God condemns it. In Genesis chapter 11, in the Tower of Babel, God had given in Genesis chapter 9 instructions to Noah. He said, "Go," and he said, "Replenish the earth." And then his great-great-grandson, by the name of Nimrod, who headed up the Tower of Babel, said, "The heck with you, God. We're going to build a tower which may reach unto heaven," and denied that. Then God came down, confounded their languages. That was the first ecumenical movement we know of where it was contrary to God. They wanted to build their own godless worldly system where every man can do that which is right in their own eyes. And then we come over to the book of Revelation. But prior to the rapture here now, you're in a time right now. Isn't this what you're seeing? Every church get together, and they do that because they don't want you to talk about the Bible now. They don't want you to talk about that. Don't talk about you can't lose your salvation. Don't talk about things that are doctrinal things in the Bible. Don't mention that. Oh, let's just walk around and pretend to love each other. No. If you are to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have a group that's trying to go to heaven by good works, God wants you as a Christian not to be uniting with them, not to hate them. When you witness to them, it's not that you hate them, it's really because you love them, but the world takes that and turns it around and says, "Well, you know you're hard to get along with in one thing or another," and we'll turn it exactly opposite of what the Christian's trying to do, you know. But we want to win you to Christ. We don't want to make a Baptist out of you or a denomination out of you. We want to make a Christian out of you. We want you to bear the name of Christ. We want you to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We want you to know that you have a home in heaven by the promise of the Word of God. Not the Baptist or Lutheran or Presbyterian or any denomination. The Word of God is what gives you that promise and that hope, you see, and that is it on there. Now, let's go on down here, and we're going to begin to take here in verses 14 on down. Again, the judgment, this is what your liberal churches don't want to. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you heard hell preached, a doctrinal message on hell, that people who reject Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell? When's the last time you heard in your church a message on that? If you haven't, why don't you go ask your pastor to preach a message on that? Why don't you tell him, "I want to know about, if you're going to talk about heaven, I want to know about hell." God is a God of love because he loved you, provided a way for you to escape the damnation of hell, and a way for you to live with him, which is God's will, because he said in 2 Peter, "I'm not willing any should perish." Therefore, God loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. You'll never get there by good works, water baptism, anything else. You'll get there by the baptism Christ took on the cross when he went beneath death, under death, and was raised again on the third day. Now, we come on down here, and we begin to notice here in verse 14, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Now, I want to take a minute here and read you something here, and then we'll finish up with here on next week. But I want to read you what, under the men behind your New International Version, here's what Hort said, and he wrote the Greek text that your New International Version comes from. He says, "The second death is probably a combination of the deluge, that is, the flood, and Sodom, and it stands between the Garden of Eden and manna. Finite sin cannot deserve infinite punishment." Here is an infidel that wrote the Greek text for your NIV. Now, let me get some more here. Here's an NIV editor, along with Armstrongism, Jehovah's Witnesses, think about hell. They all agree. Here's what Armstrongism says of the Worldwide Church of God. "The concept of hell is part and partial of folklore as a place of punishment. When a human being dies, he is dead." That appears in the Tomorrow's World, April 1971, pages 14 and 18. Jehovah's Witnesses say, "The doctrine of a burning hell after death cannot be true. A dead person is unconscious, inactive, and the soul is dead." Well, that's amazing, because James says the body without the spirit is dead. So they can't both be in the grave at the same time. Larry Walker, now get this, this is the NIV, the New International Version. If you got one of these in your home, here's one of what one of your editors said. "The committee did not feel absolutely bound to the Hebrew text, that is, concerning hell. The other Canaanite deity, Mot, for death, is personified." So instead of translating hell, they translated it as death. What a misfit men behind your NIV. Now, here's what it says. Here's another man on the New International Version Committee, R. Laird Harris. He says, "This view of hell has some problems. It refers only to death, not to any punishment." And that appears in The Making of a Contemporary Translation, pages 58 to 71. Jehovah's Witnesses say the same thing. "Hell applies to the common grave of all mankind. The words cannot contain no thought or hint of pain." Well, that's sort of amazing, isn't it? That you God put in hell in Luke chapter 16, the rich man in hell lift up his eyes in torment. It comes right down. Are you going to believe man, or are you going to believe what God said in the Bible? L. Laird Harris. Here's another New International Version editor. I'm going to quote now from his writing. "The NIV translators came to a decision regarding the meaning of the word hell. The meaning grave fits. The translation grave is the most appropriate one. The terms hell and grave are synonymous." He must not know his Greek very well. "No more than darkness, disillusion, and dust of the tomb, to lie in the dust, decay, or perish in the grave." This is R. Laird Harris. This man agrees with the cult religions, does he not? There is no hell. Okay, Hort says, "Hell is figurative." Hort says again, "We have no sure knowledge respecting the duration of future punishment, and the word eternal has a far higher meaning," and so forth. Westcott says, "Hell is not the place of punishment of the guilty, but Hades is the common abode of departed spirits." That's why it's an amazing thing when he wrote that your NIV doesn't even translate Hades, I believe it's five times, and they put a Greek word up there and try to tell you it's easier to read than translating it hell. J.B. Phillips of the English translation here of J.B. Phillips' translation, to this question, "Does hell exist?" Phillips says, "I seriously doubt this." These are the men behind the New International Version that you hold in your hand that's missing 64,000 words, and these translators did not even believe in hell. It also goes along with Charles Fillmore of the cult religion Unity. Here's what he said in Christian Healing, page 114. "There is no warrant for the belief that God sends men to everlasting punishment." These are your cult religions right here. And you find out this is what's behind your New International Version. No wonder they took out Mark chapter 9, verse 46 and 48, "Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." They don't want to read that because they don't believe in hell. That's why they took it out, along with 64,000 other words. If you have an NIV, you have the biggest perverted counterfeit of a Bible that you could possibly have. You have it. And it's sort of interesting also here. Let me read this to you, and then as we wind down here today. Ronald Youngblood, who is a NIV editor. Let me read what you said, and partly did he come out. He didn't want to admit this, and he did it sort of partially, But the whole thing, I was preaching in a church here not long ago, and I asked if anybody in the congregation had an NIV, and one person raised their hand and so forth. And we went through the little test to look up this verse, look up that verse. Well, none of them was in there. They were all missing, and so on and so forth. And they had bought in the Bible and paid quite a bit of chunk of money for it. And I said, you know what? I said, I hate to say, I really feel sorry for you. I really do, because you just didn't take time to check. But it was something like $80 for this Bible, for the NIV. And you got 64,000 words missing. You put the Hebrew words, Nephilim, up in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. You translate the Greek word Hades. You don't even translate it. Only one time out of 10 times did you translate it hell, and you got it right. Hooray for the NIV. But the other 9 times, you either translated a grave, or you put, I think it was 4 or 5 times, they put the Greek word Hades. So if you didn't know Greek, and then they put it in the preface, we've done this so you can understand the Bible more easily. These people behind these new translations are after one thing, and you are the victim if you fall for it. They want the money out of your pocketbook, folks. Now, let me read you what appeared by Ronald Youngblood, NIV editor, and it appears in the NIV, The Making of a Contemporary Translation, page 167. Translators do evidence the theological convictions of their translators. It is complex because of individuals who favor one Bible over another for ideological reasons, and publishers who promote one version over another, at least partly for economic reasons. That's nice in saying partly for your money. The whole thing is for your money. But we're getting back to our text here on Revelation here in chapter 14, and we find out here from verses 14 on down here to verse 20, and we will get on that for the Battle of Armageddon next week. But you're in a church you never hear about hell, I'd get out of it. You're in a church that promotes hate, and you call churches cults and this and that. You don't even know what you're talking about. People are going to laugh about you, just like this man is laughing at this woman who said, and warned me, he said, this woman's going to get you. He said, she's going to get you. And she goes to a liberal church. She goes to church, presents herself as some nice, sweet lady. When I talked to her, she wasn't a nice, sweet lady at all. She was hatred oozing out all over her, you see. But when you preach the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, and I still say, as I said to her, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. She didn't want it, said, I won't talk about that, and so forth. But if you're listening, I hope that you'll listen to what the Bible says. God loves you, and he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have eternal life. Been so good to be with you. We hope you'll take time to write us. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so come, Lord Jesus.